You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Deanna Spingola, and as always, I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs where it's kind of overcast, a regular, well, irregular October day. It seems like summer just left really rapidly, and anyway, here we are. I'm really glad that you joined me today. I know that we're going to have a tremendous program here at republicbroadcasting.org as we have a wonderful guest, as always, but some guests are just more wonderful than others. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net, where you'll find a lot of very interesting information. And if you wish to ask questions or make comments during the program, just email comment at spingola.email. Or you can visit the chat room, which is at spingola.chatango.com. And you know where the archives are for the program. And I mention this frequently, and yet somehow I don't mention it as frequently as I should because people ask me, where can I find your schedule? And it is at spingola.com. You just look at the website, click on the button that says radio schedule, and there you'll see everyone I've had on the program since October 23rd, 2010. And you just click on the links and you'll get relevant links for the subject matter as well as for the guests that I've had on the program. And I have interviewed some of those most interesting people, just incredible people, Helen Thomas, George Papadopoulos, just a lot of people, very interesting people. And it has been an honor to do that for as long as I've done it. I began broadcasting on RBN on October 23rd, 2010, and shortly thereafter, on December 15th of 2010, I interviewed Clint Richardson after watching his extraordinary video, The Corporation Nation. And I was just stunned by the details and all the information that he brought out in this video. It made sense to me. He documents everything. He doesn't just make a lot of claims that go nowhere. He documents things, which I love. I love people who cite their sources and document what they are claiming. Anyway, I interviewed him again on January 31st, 2011. And since then, we've had a lot of great conversations, both on the air, off the air. He's visited my home. I made pasta for him when he came to visit. I believe that was in, I think it was November of 2017. Anyway, we had a really great time. And I consider him one of my dear friends. He's had an extraordinary, impact on my life, in the things that he has done for me and, anyway, Clint, welcome to the program. I'm getting all emotional.
You do that every time.
I know.
You do that every time.
You know how I am. I'm an emotional person.
Well, good luck to you. I could say a lot of the same things about you, so.
And you won't cry, though.
You know, I've had to toughen myself up over the years facing all these all these topics. So, and all these trolls and all these agitators and all these people who attack my sites. It's, you know, you have to get a thick skin after a while.
Exactly. I did watch your movie again just recently in the last month, and I tried to find it at thecorporationnation.com, and I got an error message, so I did find it elsewhere and watched the entire thing. It's extraordinary. It's wonderful. But what happened to your website? You got somebody did some terrible things to it.
Yeah, you know, fortunately, my blog is on a site, a WordPress site, and it so it goes through WordPress, so it's a lot harder to hack into a big site like that. They have all the protections up. But this one, the Corporation Nation site, was sort of an offshoot that I just created, and it had no such protections, and really easy to hack, I assume, and so basically, someone went in there, rearranged all the code, and instead of, you know, if you were to click on one of the movies that was up there, one of my documentaries, you'd be taken to either some kind of porn site or some link that would take you to somewhere that would download a virus or try to do something. And I'll tell you, I couldn't for the life of me. I looked at the code, and I was just amazed at how intricate it was. And I just, you know, initially I just said, okay, I'm just going to get rid of this because, you know, the company that hosts it certainly can't help and or won't help unless you pay them, which I find amazing. And, yeah, it's just the kind of, it's the kind of environment it is for anyone who, you know, says it like it is, I guess. So I accepted it. I certainly couldn't afford to pay somebody or, you know, fix it myself. So I just had to let it go.
Sure.
And you know, all those movies, they're up on YouTube as long as they will be there.
Sure.
Surprisingly, they have, I can't figure out why. I really can't, but, my Lethal Injection movie, the first documentary I made on vaccines, you know, 2011, which has gotten hundreds of thousands of views and it's been shared and everything, that is still up. And I'm really surprised about that because they've been just really cracking down on anything that's, you know, vaccine oriented that gives you any inkling that vaccines are bad for you.
Right.
So, I mean, there's good news, too.
Right. Well, that's good. Hopefully after today, somebody's not going to think, oh, I think I'll go and hack that.
Well, I'm afraid that when I put up this series of documentaries that I've been working on for a couple of years now, that really is, if my documentary, you know, people said it was good, this is more like a master class. Like going to college, it's like a 60-hour course on the whole thing, all the studies, all the reports, all the doctors and all the people who are in the so-called movement, you know, that are trying to tell people what vaccines actually do. I really did a deep dive and decided that, you know, this whole Hollywood model that we're all brainwashed into, that I, you know, my YouTube videos have to be 10 minutes long because I don't have the attention span, and, oh, a documentary can't be more than 2 hours long. I decided to abandon that. And my reasoning is there's no way I can possibly, you know, include every subject that goes along with this because it goes through all the industries and all the, you know, from the university system and how corrupt it is, you know, education is like one of its lowest priorities and patents are its highest priorities. And there's these underground sort of behind the scenes patent wars between universities and they own all the patents because they're, of course, doing all the research funded by governments. Governments then have the patents. I mean, the whole thing is just a it's gotten so ridiculous that there is no science anymore happening. There's only invention, and that's really the key to the whole problem that we're having, because, you know, they don't do medicine, they do patents. They do inventions. If, you know, the reason we don't have new antibiotics, for instance, is because there's no money in it. It's a generic, you know, real, the money for antibiotics is so low that these companies don't have any incentive, because their main job is to make their shareholders rich. There's no incentive to do the research and development in something like antibiotics, even though we need them, because they're creating all these viruses and pathogens that are drug resistant, and then releasing them into the population. So the whole thing is just so messed up and so crazy that to put all that into, you know, to put the grand conspiracy that it is, take away the theory and actually show you the evidence, evidentiary, you know, truth, fact-based stuff, you know, it's kind of like this, Deanna. This is how I see it. Because like I said, this is going to be probably a 60-hour course that I'm going to do on the whole medical, pharmaceutical, vaccines, you know, you name it, COVID, everything else. The way
I look at it, how far into it are you?
Quite a bit, and it's to the point where I meant to get the first one done, which is called, it's actually on COVID, and the story behind how we got this biological weapon released into the public. Okay, and I don't say that because it's my theory, it's because I actually found where these people who the scientists themselves, plus the government agents who created all these viruses, and trust me when I say, they have taken every virus known to man, every bug known to man, basically, but specifically viruses, because of, you know, viral implies something, an infectious matter, essentially, and they've copied them, they've digitally outlined them, genetically recreated them so that they could patent them, because you can't patent anything in nature. Anything true cannot be patented, so you have to recreate these things. And as a reward, you get patent rights, and then, of course, when it's released into the public, they have to create a new vaccine because, gosh, it's a mutated virus, right? And the whole thing, it's just rinse, wash, and repeat. And so I have all these scientists together in a forum, all talking about how they do it, and the dangers and the risk versus the benefit and all that stuff. It's really amazing to hear it, because, you know, everybody talks about, oh, I think it's a biological, I think it's this. Now you will know, because these are the people that did it. These are the people that tell you, yeah, SARS was a biological weapon. Yeah, MERS. Yeah, we're working on H1, highly pathogenic H5N1. And when we're making it more virulent, more deadly, it'll already kill 60% of the people, right? It infects. But the problem is we can't really study it from human to human, because bird flu only is contracted from birds. So you can get it from a bird, in other words. It'll generally go through another animal closer to the human genome, and then bam, you have it, but you can't spread it from human to human. That's what's so interesting. So what do? They put it in a lab, and the NIH is funding all these studies, which is, of course, headed by the Institutes of Infectious Diseases, is headed by none other than Anthony Fauci, right? Anthony Fauci is like this master criminal that's up there giving us a bunch of BS every time he talks about COVID, not telling us that he's in charge of funding literally all of these experiments that they're doing. And I won't say they admit it, because they're in a forum where they're just talking amongst themselves, right? Their so-called scientific community. And while it is a public forum, no one has ever watched it. Like, it has 600 views, and those are probably from insider people, right? So this debate they had in 2012 explains the whole thing. They tell you how they're weaponizing all these viruses. Anyway, this is my documentary. It's about 98% done. And I was trying to use your show as a kickoff, and I was going to post it today, but I got to add a couple more things, because it's so important, you know. And then from there, I'm going to go into part one of the lethal injection 2, which is called A Corruption of Blood. But this current one I'm doing is called Wagging the Dog, the story behind the story of COVID-19 and how it happened. And then that'll segue into this, because their main argument for doing all of this stuff really boils down to one and only one thing, and that is vaccine research. So the one thing that has to be done is to take away their excuse, their logical fallacy that lets them do the most horrible, horrible things. And when I say that, I mean, again, they made H5N1 transmissible from human to human. They made it airborne in a lab. Right? If that ever escaped, then it would probably kill 80 or 90% of the population, because they also made it more virulent, more contagious, more this, more that, human-human transmissible. Keep in mind, all of these traits have never happened in nature, and nature is designed so that, in for the most part, these types of viral materials do not cross species. Just like a horse and a sheep, if the poor sheep, but if the horse and the sheep mated, then there's not going to be an offspring, because that's not how nature works. Same with the virome and the rest of nature. They're not designed. We're not designed to mix. Even humans with different blood types are not designed to mix. We're not, we have to kill the immune system in order for a negative blooded person, RH person, to have a positive person's a baby. I don't like the word person, sorry, but you get the idea. So there's all these beautiful, beautiful things in nature that stop the things that they're doing in the lab. And that is what we're dealing with COVID-19, as they call it, which is just SARS-2. Now, if I say SARS-1, obviously SARS-2 is SARS-1 with what is called, and they talk about this, gain of function or dual use research. Now, when I say gain or loss of function, that's the official term for taking a virus and adding, say, a receptor. For instance, we talked about this last time, I think, that they took the SARS-1, mixed it with MERS, and then added orthologs, meaning, like spikes or receptors and that kind of thing. And they put HIV, the specific virus, HIV, they took those spikes, those communication devices that would then enter into the receptors in the human body. So in the lab, in order to study SARS-1 and try to, create vaccines and all the things they say they're doing and that justify this, they're basically creating bioweapons. And then saying, well, it's for research purposes, legitimate and peaceful, which makes it legal. Now, the interesting thing about that is that what they call basic research, in other words, what all these guys, Ron Fauci and the Institutes of Health and Anthony Fauci, who's in charge of a lot of these things, H1N1, right? He's the guy that's doing this. He's the guy listed on all the research papers. These are the guys that are doing this so-called basic or legitimate research. And yet, if it weren't for that one little U.S. code that made the exception on the Biological Weapons Act that says, well, okay, yeah, you can't make biological weapons, but if you're doing it legitimately, you can do basic research. There is absolutely no difference between basic research, which means taking H5N1, for instance, or SARS, and making it more virulent, adding things to it to make it human-to-human transmissible or airborne transmissible, okay? All these things that they're doing in the lab that they call legitimate or peaceful, which are the words that are in the Biological Weapons Terrorism Act, and that's in the first documentary I made, actually. That is actually the same exact thing as biological weapons research. There is no difference between the two.
Yikes. All righty, we will be right back after a 3-minute break.
starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the battle.
All right, welcome back. Our guest today is Clint Richardson, and his website is Reality Blogger with one G, realityblogger.wordpress.com. And you also have a book, Straw Man Story, which people can download, and that is at strawmanstory.info. Anyway, you were talking about Fauci and about what he is subsidizing with actually taxpayer money too, because some of those tests and some of those in the universities are actually paid for by the taxpayer, and then they are privatized and turned over to corporations, and here the taxpayer is paid for them, but it's the corporations that are going to make profits off of what the taxpayers have paid for.
Oh yeah, I mean, behind the scenes, even this new vaccine that they're coming out with, which, you know, people better be aware of this, it's an RNA vaccine that will reprogram your DNA. It does have aborted fetal tissue in it, just like the old ones. I mean, in other words, that's what the it's grown on. And in this case, there's not even any virus. It's just the this newfangled recombinant sort of reprogramming of your DNA. You want to stay as far away from that as you possibly can. But even in the background, Moderna, which is the company that Fauci and all those guys are involved. I mean, it's just this big conspiratorial thing. Well, they just lost a lawsuit, a patent battle over the COVID vaccine to another company who sued them already before the thing's even out. So before Moderna could even release this so-called vaccine, they already lost a patent battle on it. That's how incredibly corrupt this whole thing is, right? And like I said, it's all done through universities, and, you know, it's just incredible. You find the United States government and Anthony Fauci's name on several patents, right? But especially the U.S. government, just depending on which department.
Right. So now, there's a question from the chat room. Why does this virus seem to kill only people of a certain age, terminally ill, or just older people? Or is that just because they're putting
these... I'll
tell you. Okay, go ahead.
First of all, there's the testing. The testing is problematic. Testing is said in Time magazine, there's an article that said the PCR test is at least 30% inaccurate, meaning it'll give you a false negative quite often, and also a false positive. I would say it's way more than that. What the problem with the testing is that people that are getting tested with the PCR, which the author or the creator of the PCR test, polymerase, it's the same thing they do with the prion test, where they bombard it with radiation and make the prions grow and eat the brain tissue, et cetera, et cetera, to test the genetic material. So the test, which they call the gold standard in the CDC, that test is only designed to detect the genetic material of what is called a coronavirus. Now, corona is the shape of the virus. In other words, the shape of the spikes that stick out of it that connect to your receptors in your body, right? So when you're getting, an Ebola virus is also a coronavirus. The common cold is actually the most common coronavirus. So when you get a test, and you've had any coronavirus, and there's quite a few different brands of coronavirus out there, you know, you're going to test positive for coronavirus. Not for COVID-19 or In other words, SARS-2, COVID-19. No, you're showing a positive for only for the corona structure, genetic material of that virus. So the testing system itself is completely flawed. They know this. And then you have all these hospitals that are saying, oh yeah, even though he died of a heart attack or a stroke or respiratory issues, you know, you're dying of COVID, because then they get funding. That's basically what it boils down to. Now, if you go back to the 1980s, where guess who was in charge? Anthony Fauci. You had the same exact thing. All right. You had Anthony Fauci and others, you know, the same people that are there today, really, that said, okay, HIV is causing all these deaths. And so all these hospitals started listing HIV. All these old people, what are they actually dying from? They're dying from diseases like pneumonia, etc. They're dying because they have what are called comorbidities. Right. Things, they're old. I mean, you're old. You're dying because of old age and diseases associated with those. And guess what? There's no such thing as age. Not a... of all those...
We'll be right back.
With you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Clint Richardson. His website is realityblogger.wordpress.com. There's just one G in blogger, that is realityblogger.wordpress.com. And, okay, let's continue with what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, so, you know, AIDS is acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Right.
When you say syndrome, you're talking about a bunch of diseases that are individually, you know, pretty much standalone diseases. You have your sarcoma, your Kaposi's, you know, sarcoma. You have pneumonia, tuberculosis. All these fairly new diseases that revolved around having this acquired immunity deficient syndrome. So in itself, it's not a disease. It's a description of diseases. Just the same thing can be said about COVID. Okay, COVID-19 is a description of several different respiratory and other types of diseases. COVID-19 is not a specific disease. It describes other diseases. And we have to understand that. And that's what's happening. The same thing that happened with AIDS is happening with people today, because and more so because they genetically engineered the HIV virus into the SARS-1, MERS, etc., right? And that was to make it more contagious. In other words, now it can enter into what's called the ACE 1 or 2, I think it's ACE-1 receptor, and that receptor is in the lungs, it's in the heart, it's in all the places where we're having problems with coronavirus. Now that said, all these people, these young people and most people that are getting tested for coronavirus, they're showing positive because they've had the common cold, because they've had some other virus that is similar to, but not the same as coronavirus, because a PCR test is not a diagnostic test. It tests for the genetic material associated with certain viruses. Okay, so we have this horrible, horrible system, and like I said, it's a well-known fact. All kinds of doctors have come out and talked about it. It's not as if this is unknown. Like I said, even that article in Time magazine said it's got a 30% at least inaccuracy rate. No one in their right mind would give you a test with a 30% inaccuracy rate. And even the test for HIV, I believe it was, or AIDS, the test for HIV was something like 99% inaccurate. It was so bad that that it was almost too bad to even, you know, comprehend. But so the same tricks that were being played with Fauci back then as head of National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, in other words, under the NIH, right? He was the one that introduced AZT. Now, AZT was previously, before that, it was a failed chemotherapy drug. And then they put in all these people on AZT completely experimentally, and it turns out AZT is what is called a DNA disruptor or terminator, excuse me. So it has a termination quality to your DNA. You have, you know, your cells have telomeres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're like little tails, and they once the tail's gone, then your cells die, and that represents sort of your lifespan or your death of your cells, etc. The only people that I know of that are still alive today, and there's two of them that I know. One is my cousin, so I actually understand. The only people that I know of that have survived that, cause the actual official statistics for so-called AIDS is about 98% death rate, for anyone that has had AZT. It's almost 100%. And the only people I know that have actually avoided death from that are people who took human growth hormone. Cause human growth hormone does the exact opposite. It starts making you younger. So you've got these two, sort of, you know, you have a DNA terminator and then something that, you know, is more of an anti-aging type of drug. It actually makes you younger, if you will. And those are the only people that I know that have actually, and they had, you know, human growth hormone is about $200,000 a year.
Wow. Oh,
so
that's a lot of money. Yeah.
That's why nobody can get it. And they know, they absolutely know that it'll take away just about anything. It reverses your aging. It takes away spots on your skin. It repairs things, you know. I mean, it's really growth hormone. If you have a hole in your heart, it'll repair it. So those are the only people that I know of that have actually survived. And like I said, Fauci has been there this whole time researching anti-aging and anti-this and anti-that. And really that's what this boils down to, because I started looking at all the research papers and all these research papers, and I've read hundreds and hundreds of research papers, all right? That's all I've been doing, and I'm taking pictures of them, I'm highlighting certain things, and I'm putting them, you know, away for future, and then I'll read them to you so you don't even have to read them in my documentary series, right? But I'm looking, I'm going, why is the conclusion of the study and the introduction, right? The introduction or the abstract, it says this, this, and this. Then you go through this study and there's all these testing things that are happening. And a lot of it has to do with synthetic biology, synthetic environments, all these weird, weird things that have nothing to do with the actual experiment. So essentially, like you said, the public is funding all these studies that behind the scenes, while they're doing the actual study that they put the request in for the funding, they're also doing all this other stuff, which is called dual use. So in other words, they might be doing something, clandestinely for the government, for DARPA, for this, for that, that has to do with, you know, bioterrorism or transhumanism or whatever. So they're, almost all of these tests have this strange research going on that has nothing to do with the actual, you know, subject matter of the study. And it never makes it into the final conclusion. In other words, it's not part of the study. It's just done with the extra funding. And then they're taking all of that information and using it for what's called dual use purpose. Now, a dual use purpose, the best example of a dual use is this, biological weapons. But another example would be the nuclear physics, right? They discovered nuclear fission. They figured out how that it would power a whole city and at the same time destroy a whole state.
Right.
Right? So you have a dual use. Yes, I'm creating, so it's what they accuse Iran of, for instance. Yeah,
right.
Sure. You're just building a bomb. You're not actually trying to power your cities, right? So if Iran says, oh yeah, we're just using this for power, and then at the same time they have a secret weapons program, that's dual use. The funding is going for the beneficial use, but the information garnered from the study is going towards the nefarious use, which would be dual use, right?
Right.
So same with biological weapons. As I said before, there's absolutely no difference whatsoever. If I was a biological weapons specialist, a scientist, and I was to go and create a biological weapon from, let's say, the highly pathogenic H5N1, or SARS, or anything else, which they've done them all. You gotta understand, they've done them all. I would do exactly what they do in the labs today all across the world to study the traits of viruses or whatever you're studying, right? I would add functions, gain of functions or loss of function. Sometimes if you lose a function, if you make it less contagious, it might become more virulent or harmful, right? So depending on what you do to these things, well, what they're doing is they're adding all of these functions to make it, there's seven concerning things that you can do, right? And they're adding them all. So they're creating like these super viruses, these super bugs that would kill, and this isn't just for humans, this isn't just for animals, it's not just for insects, it's also for plants and for all, you know, they're doing it to everything.
Yeah.
And all it's going to take, and see, this is why I got so concerned when I started looking into this back in January, and why I switched to doing this movie instead of the vaccine movie, is because I figured out real quick that we are one accident away from being dead. And I'm in the species or the eugenic group that the bug is targeted, the age group the bug is targeted, whatever it is. If one of these escapes, if this highly contagious H5N1 that's in 200 different labs across the world,
ugh,
you know, if that escapes or is released purposefully, then you're seriously going to have major, major population reduction, which a lot of people say is,
would make Bill Gates really happy.
Exactly. And so it's funny what doing a documentary on something will do to you. It's kind of like I used to do movies or video games, and I'd have to watch the movie or the game hundreds of times in order to put the sound in, right? So by the time mm-hmm. I'm done with the movie, I don't even want to see the movie because I'm bored with it, right? It's
sure.
There's no surprise. There's no same thing with this. You know, I'm doing this research and I'm discovering all this stuff. When I first understood the direness of this, nothing else in life mattered. This was suddenly like, oh my God, we're all gonna die. And I still have that understanding. I just don't have the underpinning, you know, emotional response that I had before. But at this point now, I can talk about it rationally as opposed to, you know, just being scared crapless as I was before. And what I'm trying to tell you and your listeners is this is the turning point in history, in technology, in bioweapons and biotechnology. We are at the point where it's gotten so out of control and it's growing so quickly as far as technology that they don't, you know, they say in this forum, we don't even have the laws set up to prosecute. Like, it's so fast, the improvement, that government is pointless because the bureaucracy won't allow things like the Biological Terrorism Act to go through years, you know, until everything's already way past that point. And that's where we are now, to the point where you got to ask. I mean, I'll just put it to you this way. Government, through the NIH, Anthony Fauci, Ron Fauci, Yoshi, whatever his name is, these guys, they are responsible for creating these bugs, these viruses that have highly pathogenic, and it escaped from a lab. Now, the U.S. government wants you to think it's China. China wants to think you to think it's U.S. It's actually a combination of both. The virus was actually given to China by Anthony Fauci, even though there was a moratorium on this research. The SARS, what we're dealing with now, was given to China to continue the research because there was a moratorium here. Anthony Fauci was responsible for that. Okay? So that was back, I think, in 2014. So who do you blame is the question. And the answer is Anthony Fauci and that which he represents, which is the entire government, right?
Right, right.
So the NIH.
My question is, all of these, these viruses, aren't they afraid that they might become afflicted with the very poisons that they're trying to inflict on the rest of the world?
I tell you the same thing that I heard a doctor say about most oncologists, and that is that they are sociopathic. An oncologist will gladly treat you with radiation, with chemotherapy, bringing you to the point of death and destroying your immune system. But for his children, or for his wife, or himself, he would never, ever do that. Well, these guys, they're either psychopathic or sociopathic. They do not give a crap about the consequences. They don't feel like they're responsible for anything they do. And this is because of one very important element that we've all been missing this whole time. All right? And that is this thing called this religion, this dogma that is called scientism. And scientism is pretty much the anti-science. Okay? It is a bunch of people who call themselves scientists, who have a dogmatic belief, or let's just say they look at the world and the universe through the lens of what's called scientism or scientistic thought. Okay? In other words, they're not using the scientific method. They're not limiting themselves to actual scientific research. Okay? And to give you an understanding of how that has affected the scientific community and the research that is coming out, there's about, depending on which report you look at, between 75 and 85% of all research, whether it's psychology, whether it's medical, whether it's pharmaceutical, you know, whichever one you're looking at, there is a 75% or higher non-reproducibility problem. These experiments they're doing, now the fundamental part of science is that science is the discovery or the study of truth, of nature, of reality, of the laws of nature. But these guys, they're not happy. They're transhumanists. They are scientists. They want to take humanity and nature and improve it. They literally call themselves as gods. Their opinion is that because the beginning of the universe was this big bang, out of nothingness came something, and it exploded, and we were formed, and the stars exploded, and we fortunately formed because stars exploded, etc., etc. This is the religion of science.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Okay, we do have to go to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Our Our guest today is Clint Richardson, and we're talking about psychopaths. I had a program last week about psychopathy, and these medical people, Fauci, Gates, all of these people, fit right into that particular category.
And I saw a really scary video on this guy who, he was actually in charge at some university. He was studying the brain patterns of psychopaths in general. And so he had thousands and thousands of studies. And he actually took a scan of his own brain, and that got mixed in with all those. And he's looking at this at this picture, and it shows psychopathy. He did not know. He had no clue that he was a psychopath. No clue.
Oh, my gosh.
And then everything clicked, and he realized that, yes, and he was able to actually, you know, he basically described it as, it's almost like getting an education or having this set of rules that you don't believe in them, but you understand that if you don't follow them, then you're going to do psychopathic things. He was so shocked at his own brainwaves that he didn't know that he was a psychopath. And so you got to ask, do these people know? Can we even call them evil, or are they just completely detached from any sort of self-responsibility, self-governing? Because, you know, these people should not be left alone. I mean, they are the scariest people I've ever met, and they are a society. They call themselves the scientific community, and they believe that they are in charge and that the rest of us, you know, must bow to them. And they are the smart people, and of course smart means to be put in pain and punished, right? They are the smart ones. They are just this God class, and they believe that it is their duty to alter reality, to alter nature, to completely destroy life as we know it, and to become gods of their own universe.
Oh,
that really is what the, and then you look at these crazy guys like Kurzweil and all these futurists and transhumanisms. Oh. I tell you, all that synthetic biology and all that synthetic life thing that I was talking about, all these things that are in these studies, they're towards transhuman. They are literally, with all this public funding, they're doing all this extra research towards dual use, but in this case, the dual use is transhumanism, forwarding humanity, evolving humanity. They use the term evolution. They want to evolve or unfold man and nature and improve it and make it essentially in their image, and that is why it's a religion. It's called scientism. It was warned about in the 1920s, there was a professor who warned that these so-called scientists are infiltrating every aspect of government and science and promoting all this stuff. Then you had Darwin, you had, you know, all this stuff about evolution. You had all these things that were happening, and you have now this scientistic sort of lens that has taken and infiltrated the whole system.
Exactly. All righty. We are going to let's see, it's the top of the hour. We will be right back. So stay with us.
Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Truth.
Welcome back. And our guest today is Clint Richardson. His website is realityblogger.wordpress.com. And blogger is just with one G. That is realityblogger.wordpress.com. And we're talking about the psychopaths that are in charge of what is referred to as scientism. And I really think they are psychopaths, and you've described them and explained that one gentleman did a test and found out that that is amazing.
It really gave me a new perspective, and it's you know, sometimes you have to step back and you have to say, well, maybe, just maybe, there's a sense of almost, I won't say innocence, but, you know, what it feels like to me is we've got a bunch of mental patients that have escaped their rubber rooms and have been put in charge of some of the most delicate things that will disrupt the balance of nature and life itself. But I'm sounding the alarm, Deanna. If we don't do something about this, I mean, and this goes beyond just government calling your senator or what. So you know, these guys are profiting from it, and I think they're as psychopathic as anybody.
Sure.
Sociopathic. And so, you know, we're at a point here, and the best way I think to understand scientism is to compare it to Christianity, right? Christianity as an organized corporate structure, religion, has nothing to do with Christ or the Bible. Okay, it's completely 100% a fabrication that was created back in the 1800s, the Puritans and all that stuff. They created the rapture, they created, which is not in the Bible, they created all these things. And so now you have a bunch of people who are calling themselves Christians. And you have a bunch of people who are calling themselves scientists, and yet none of them are acting Christ-like, and none of them are acting according to the laws of science. So Christians aren't acting under the law of God, and scientists aren't acting under the laws of science, or natural science, the study of nature, and the limitations that proves. What we have instead are Christians, so-called, and scientists, so-called, who are literally acting in every way possible against nature, or if you will, God's design, creation, whatever you want to call it, however you think about it, right? They want to go against nature. And the key to happiness, you know, any of the old, you know, philosophers, etc., the key to happiness for people, and the reason we're all so unhappy, is because we are not in tune with nature. We're not close to nature. We do everything we can to get away from it. We visit it every once in a while, right? We're so out of tune with nature and the way it operates and the laws and the that we are absolutely, there's no way we can call ourselves, like, you know, anything. We're pretending to be something we're not. We're all hypocrites. And we have to admit that, first of all. That's the first step towards understanding the Bible, and the first step towards understanding what the Matrix is. The Matrix is a simulation. And guess what? If you look up the word simulation, you know what the first definition is? Hypocrisy. If I'm a simulator, I'm a hypocrite. In other words, I know the law, but I'm not following it. I'm a hypocrite if I'm a scientist, called a scientist, and yet I'm not using the scientific method. I'm a hypocrite if I'm a Christian, so-called, flattering title, and I'm not following the Bible or its law. I'm not even worshiping Jehovah. I'm not even naming God. I'm worshiping an idol. You know, this, so, and same with science. Now, what's really important about both of these, and what makes the moral, spiritual kind of argument, is that your worldview, especially in scientism and especially in Christianity, depends on how you believe or what you believe as far as so-called creation or how the universe began, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, if you consult the Bible, you pretty much figure out there is no such thing. There is no, I mean, Jehovah, that is God, is there is no beginning and end. That would be ridiculous, right? It's life continues, or existence. There's always existence, and that's how God is actually, or Jehovah is actually defined, self-existence, right? So you have scientists, or those who believe in the religion or dogma of scientism, who believe in this Big Bang theory. They believe in evolution. They believe in all these things. Not that evolution isn't a part of nature, and things evolve, certainly, but the kind of evolution they're talking about is the kind that they want to do themselves. They want to, you know, the reason we're having so many problems is because we're all experiments for them. All these drugs, they're designed to unfold the protein structure of man and evolve it. And if you look up the term evolution, first definition is going to be unfolding. You go back to Salk and his vaccine. He wrote a book called The Unfolding of Man. In other words, evolution. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about basically those who are or should be, you know, Christian, which basically means you're a protectorate of nature and its law, right? You are repulsed by anything that is dominant or cruel or anything that is against nature, right? Mm-hmm. Or you are the evolutionist that believes nature is flawed, God is flawed, and you want to be your own God and be your own creator. So all this depends on what you believe is creation, right? So if I believe that we all came from nothingness, there's no order to the universe, what we call God's design is really chaos theory, it's chaos, ordered chaos, all these sort of opposite beliefs that have developed in this scientistic type of thing, which when you think about it, you could probably, all these groups we talk about, you know, the orders and the Jews and all this stuff that we talk about really fall into this same category, because in the Bible, the Yahudi, the Jew, as it was translated, just means those who are opposed to Christ or opposed to the new law, the New Testament, right? Mm-hmm. So really what we're talking about are people who are opposed to the law of nature. And if you stop and look, everything they say confirms that. And I'm speaking before you've seen the documentary, but when you see it for yourself, you start to understand, yeah, there are no morals because morals are religion. There are no ethics. You know, they make their own rules. They make their own destiny.
It's just hard to believe that there are people that evil.
I know.
But I know, because we normal people don't think that way, and it's difficult to even imagine.
I considered this, Deanna. Do you remember that back in the early 80s, this is when I was growing up, early 80s, they had movies, right? And those movies were movies like Revenge of the Nerds and Weird Science and movies that had to do with just absolutely chaos. They called them nerds, basically, and the nerds would get their revenge. Create their scientific stuff, and it would disrupt the you know, and the nerds would win in the end. There was a string of movies, all the John Cusack movies and all that stuff. I don't know if people remember that or not, but there was a string of movies like that that really showed that, I mean, and isn't that what we're talking about? The Bill Gateses and the
indoctrination is what
nerds,
going on.
It feels like Revenge of the Nerds. It feels like they're like, okay, we have power now. We've infiltrated government. We've infiltrated the institutions of arts and sciences. We've infiltrated the universities. And now it's time for our revenge. We're going to just rip the whole natural design of life as you know it, kill you all, because we'll probably have an accident because there's horrible safety records in these labs while we're doing it. But we don't care, because our goal is transhumanism. We want to express ourselves as we see fit, not as we're designed, not as creation of God, not as how nature, you know, kicked us out of the womb. No, we're not happy with that. We are That's what it feels like to me. And I, you know, no offense to anybody, because when I say that, you know, this sort of nerdy personality, I'm really talking about these people who are information smart, but don't have any knowledge. They don't have any knowledge of nature and its design. They're information smart. They're book smart. They're people who have no interest or love of nature or reality. They're, you know, that is what it feels like to me. And if you want to call that psychopathy, maybe that's your, or sociopathy, that's fine. I would accept that as an answer. But that's what it feels like.
I think the reason they get away with it is because regular people like you and I and the listeners, they don't comprehend that such evil can exist, because people who are not evil can't comprehend it in other people. They just, it just is so foreign. And I want to remind people that they can sign up at your website to get notification of when the film is ready.
Yeah, my YouTube channel, you know, I still have the Corporation Nation was my first YouTube channel, and then I switched when I started doing my own radio show, commercial free with, you know, it was called Red Pill Sunday School. So I created Red Pill Sunday School, and I started doing season 2, which is actually the first 5 shows or so are my new book that I actually read instead of releasing as a book. I just read it as an audio book and did videos on it. So it's, you know, a good 30 hours or so of everything straw man. And okay, once I got that off my system, now I'm going to start posting these new documentaries on that.
Okay. Is that Corporation Nation?
No, it's called the channel itself on YouTube is called Red Pill Sunday School. If you want to subscribe to it, yeah. I didn't set it up for funding or money, because money destroys all things. So if you want to subscribe to it, it's not because I'm getting money for it, but it will give you a notification, an email notification whenever I post these. And I'll be posting these 2 movies within months of each other. So these first 2, and then it'll take a while for the rest.
Right. Are you afraid that YouTube will? I know that they censor stuff.
I am afraid that is going to be the case. I'm not sure what to do about that. Although at the end of this, when I finish it all, my idea is to what I want to do is get a bunch of thumb drives that say lethal injection, just the corruption of blood or whatever. And, put them all on a thumb drive and then sell or give away as cheaply as possible.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Thumb drives, and then let you copy the film over to a bunch of thumb drives and give them away. So you could, maybe if you could buy 5 thumb drives, then you could give the movie away to 4 different people, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And do it at cost. So, you know, but that's a ways in the future. But that might be the only way this ever gets out, honestly, because I do have a feeling that it's going to get censored. But keeping my fingers crossed, because there is nothing that can be construed as conspiracy theory. There's nothing in here that can be said to be a copyright infringement. It's because it is nonprofit, it is for educational, and you know, anything that's used of the news or whatever is for critique and all those things that are supposed to protect you from these corporations. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, because if people really go through this and they really understand it, this is not just a documentary. The reason it's so long is because it's evidence. It's in their own words. In other words, they are sitting there telling you all the things they've done. They're telling you, these so-called scientists, telling you what they've created, telling you the dangers, telling you the risks, and telling you what they consider are the benefits. This is not like listening to, you know, some shock jock tell you you're all gonna die. This is the scientists that actually created these things, including Anthony Fauci, telling you that if this thing gets out, this highly pathogenic H5N1, for instance, that he's in charge of funding and doing the research of, it will kill you. It will kill your children. It will kill everyone. Right, they're saying it, not me, not some shock jock, not some celebrity. This is the real deal. This is the real.
Yeah. Right? Talking about Anthony Fauci, what do you feel about Trump being in the hospital now, a government hospital, because he tested positive, he and his wife tested positive for COVID?
Well, again, you know, the test itself is, you know, it's hard because you here is where you start speculating. Here is where you start saying, well, it would make sense that if you really want people to believe in this thing and take
the
vaccine,
sure,
you know, they're going to give this guy the disease and then maybe inject him with saline water, pretending he's going to get the vaccine, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean,
yes.
the Rand Corporation came out with an article trying to, you know, figure out ways in which they can vaccinate people and get people to trust the vaccine, because they know that over half the people at this point are like, I am not getting the vaccine, at least at first, until I see the results, at least. And then there's the small portion of us that say, you know, death before vaccine, because I know exactly what they do. I've been a victim of the vaccines. You know, there's no way that anything will ever be injected into me again unless it's going to save my life at that moment, right? So,
but even then you wouldn't know. You know, they could tell you that. But
I don't know what's in anything. I mean, that's the problem, yeah. So what I think, I had a theory myself that, you know, Donald Trump, he's one of those just, I mean, the guy, you know, whatever you think of him and whatever he's done and all that stuff, put it aside for a moment. Let's go back to his days when he was picking up chairs at WrestleMania and hitting the wrestlers, you know, or Vince Neil over the, you know, you've never seen those videos of all the shenanigans that he would do and all the bankrupt.
He's a reality star.
Right, all the reality stuff.
He went bankrupt 5 times.
Exactly. So, you know, my theory was like, okay, they'll make him president. He'll agree to be either assassinated or die for some reason or something will happen. And they'll take care of all his debts and all the bankruptcies. And his record will be cleared. And, you know, that was my original theory. You know, there's like fulfilling the Simpsons prophecy. But that's just for fun, you know. But at the same time, I don't dismiss it. I sit there and I look at this and I smell a rat. But I I don't know. I really don't know. I can only say that the fact that Trump, after saying publicly that he's very suspicious and very concerned about vaccines, the fact that he's supporting so much this whole thing.
Right, right. And he did say that he was on hydrochloroquine. Oh. How did you say that? Hydrochloroquine.
I looked and Anthony Fauci actually has the patent on what's called interleukin 2, which is essentially, I think it's interferon, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be the real thing you want to look into is interleukin 2, because it actually is designed, its purpose is to increase CD4 and CD8, or in other words, T cells in your body. So if you were taking that and you have a T cell, this thing attacks T cells just because it has, you know, it's designed to. It has HIV viruses in it, right? So receptors. Uh-huh. So, and I'm not saying that HIV even causes AIDS. I'm just saying they took the HIV receptors, which can penetrate the spike, penetrate all the receptors in your body. That's, they added that function to the SARS-1.
Okay. We do have to cut to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back. Our guest today is Clint Richardson. His website is realityblogger.wordpress.com. Just one G, realityblogger.wordpress.com. You will find his YouTube channel. Just visit YouTube and type in Red Pill Sun School, and you will see a lot of films, a lot of films. And I was trying to say hydrochloroquine, which is hard to say if it's not right in front of you. I'm a reader rather than a speaker. I read, when you're a reader, you read things, it's just different. Speaking and reading, just two different things, right?
True. It helps though. It helps your speaking when you read a lot.
It does. It does help you. I read a lot. I'm a bookworm.
Well, you know, and I know a lot of people don't like to read. I know some people can't stand more than don't have the attention span of more than 10 minutes. But, you know, the reason this is so lengthy is because it's like a dossier. It's evidence. And I compare this, you know, these people, you know, and most of us are guilty of this. Let's be honest with each other. We're all hypocrites. We're all doing the same thing, basically, to prevent good from raining, if you will. From learning. Imagine if you let's just say you went to college and you wanted to learn physics, and you go to Princeton and you go up to your professor and you say, hey, your course is it's 50 hours over the next 6 months, man. That's too much for me. Can you could we just do do you have like a 2-hour video I could watch, or a couple 10-minute videos? Right now, if I was that professor, I'd flunk you right there.
What is that allegory where the guy says, okay, could you put all this knowledge in 10 volumes, or could you, and they kept saying, getting it down to one sentence. And I guess the sentence was, there's no free lunch or something like that. and seriously, that's about the way it is.
Yeah. And like I said, I realized we're all brainwashed into this, social media sort of mentality that we want it quick and dirty, and we're never really going to learn anything. Our goal is not even knowledge anymore. It's just information, pointless information, useless information. And so I decided I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to actually make an evidentiary document, a series of documentary, evidence sourced things, and it's going to be as long as a college course, yeah, because I call it a master class. It's everything you need to know and want to know and could imagine, all from these reports and studies and everything else, that actually explains, for instance, why it is that we're supposed to get we're born with the neonatal virome, which is a series of all these infectious particles, viral things that reprogram our epigenome and epigenome, which are the switches, little switches, chemical switches on and off, kind of like a garage door opener. Your garage door opener only opens your garage door because you have those switches turned a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how biology works. They're chemicals, and the receptors and the spikes, and they only fit a certain way. And if I can't fit into, right? So all these viruses that come from nature, there's a big push right now to even make people believe there's no such thing as a virus. Virus used to be just defined as pus or infectious matter or venom, right? I mean, it's not really hard to understand that infection is something that has a a communication device that puts bad information, if you will, kind of like a computer virus. It puts bad information into your, bad genetic information, bad biological information into your healthy cell, and it thus causes an illness. It's really not that hard to understand what a virus is, but there's all these people who are trying to convince people that viruses don't exist. I even confronted some of them, and they're like, well, it's just our opinion. We don't really have any evidence to back it. You know, and I'm just, you gotta be kidding me. Has it gotten this bad that, you know, and this kind of goes into that scientistic sort of view. It's not that they're using any kind of factual or, you know, there's no truth involved. There's no scientific method being used. It's just, I believe it, and therefore it must be true. And that has become sort of the MO. I mean, Americans especially, I think, and I think we're spreading our Americanism, our stupidity, our institutionalized scientism, if you will, to everybody else on the planet.
Well, you have to recognize who runs the media worldwide and has for a long time. Right now you have, it used to be, back in Reagan's time when he came into office, that there were like 88 different stations, different venues. We'll pick this up on the other side. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. All righty, we are back, and our guest today is Clint Richardson, and you may find his the Red Pill Sunday School at his YouTube channel, and there's a lot there, so please do visit YouTube and just type in Red Pill Sunday School. And we were talking about Reagan, and remember, he was a corporate guy, and he'd worked for General Electric for quite a long time. He had been governor of the state of California.
For God's sake, you're the spokesmodel for cigarettes.
And when he, yes, remember that. And when he came in, he got rid of the Fairness Doctrine, which allowed the corporatization and the monopolization of the media. And he also was in charge of the 1986 law, which took all liability away from the vaccine makers so that they could boost the number of vaccines from whatever it was then, probably, I don't know, 10, up to what is now probably 72 or more. So he did a lot of damage. In addition, he signed the Genocide Treaty. He did a lot of rotten things.
Well, you know, it's funny because you can then look at the records of any other president and probably say the same thing. And that's the real point that I think we forget, is that there is a flattering title called president, and despite which man or woman fills that position, mm-hmm. there is this position called president that has that power. That has the power to suspend the Constitution anytime he wants by declaring a national emergency or war.
Right.
There's all these. There. Why do we have a king? If we were supposedly getting away from that, you know, if you have someone with that much power, it's a king, right? So there's a real problem when one man under the authority of a flattering title can do that. That doesn't seem, you know, for Congress to declare a war and actually have a legitimate war declared, you know, takes all this, but the president can do it with the swipe of a pen.
Right. And he doesn't even have to say it's a war.
And
say it's a police action or whatever they call it.
Guess what? The Constitution is suspended. All the emergency laws have come into action, and we're all pretty much under martial law. We have been since 1970-something.
33.
technically. But people don't even realize that. Well, I mean, technically since Civil War, when Abraham Lincoln declared, you know, and that there was no actually end to the Civil War. But I cover that in my Red Pill Sunday School show and prove that. But the whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. And I on that note, you gotta realize all these, you know, there's not one person, not one government employee, not one scientist, not one Homeland Security advisor, not, none of these people are elected. You know, all these people are appointments in the federal government under the executive branch in such agencies as defense and, you know, the DOD, the NIH, and all these. None of these people, they're all employees of this big, massive corporation. There's only one actual elected official, and that is the president, right? The one guy who actually does have the power to end this tomorrow. Tomorrow he could say no more of this, right? But he doesn't. He does. All appointed officials, all cabinet members, everybody is under his authority. It's like one person, and the personality is split between millions and millions of appointed officials. We have to remember that everybody in the executive branch works for one and only one guy. He's like the CEO. Mm-hmm. And until we kind of understand that, until we sort of say, okay, well, the one guy who's going to make the change or can make the change and is him or her or whoever's going to be president. So I propose or remind people that, you know, how did the Magna Carta come into existence? Well, it came because the people revolted and held a sword to the king's throat.
Right.
Okay, so forget all these elected officials. Forget about contacting your senators. They're criminals. It's not going to do it. This is a war that's, you know, the Bible tells you that it's a war of, you know, principalities, which means governments and all that. You're talking about we're in a war, and I've said this before, but I really, really got to say it in a way that I mean, get this through your freaking heads, people. Get off your collective butts and organize for once. This whole alternative radio and alternative products and all, it's become a great little business and a lot of people are making a lot of money. You're listening to this, you're learning all this stuff, and not once has anybody ever done anything. The media reports something, nothing gets done. No one gets in trouble, no one is arrested. All the criminals in 9/11, all the criminals in this, all the criminals, none of them have ever been, nothing's ever happened. And yet, you all know the conspiracies, you all know the players, why aren't you doing anything? Well, this is the time where, again, we've gotten to the point now in this so-called science that we're about to die. Because of our ignorance, because of our complacency, because we're sitting on our butts listening to stuff and not doing anything. This is something that affects everybody. There's no escaping this. There is no, you know, these things know no borders. There is not a China disease or a U.S. disease. All right. We're talking about things that will kill you. There is no planning for the future. There is, forget the products you're buying. They're not going to be useless if you're dead. Forget plans for your kids to go to school or do whatever. They're going to die. I want you to understand how dire this actually is. And when you hear these people who created this thing tell you that, or at least talk about it amongst themselves because they think you're not listening, okay, it will hit this home. This is no joke anymore. We are at war with a group, a dogmatic people who believe that the only way to improve upon nature is to literally destroy it and start over, to transhumanize, I mean, I can't stress enough that this thing has gone not just too far, but to the point of no return, possibly. It is time to stand up. It is time, if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a moral man, right? How you quote all these old figures that if good men do nothing, tyranny will, you know, rule, whatever. It's time to actually act. We're no longer in a position that we can just sit back and, yeah, I know this and I'm gonna talk about it and no, this is different. We're at a point now where our livelihood, obviously life as we know it has already been changed. You all know that.
It's been so incremental. And, our wonderful producer brought up the fact that, television has seriously damaged humanity. It's programming. And we have been programmed via TV, via movies that you mentioned earlier. And sometimes it's overwhelming to recognize that there are people like that. But there's also a significant number of people, like COVID. There's a relatively small amount of people who have it. Why do you think that they are limiting their numbers? Why aren't they doing something bigger if that is their game plan?
A couple of months ago, I had a friend, he was in a shooting competition down south here in Utah, and there's not much in Utah, right? So the guy that was actually there, it's usually military people and police, and he goes and he does the obstacle course and shoots the targets and stuff and just, you know, collects guns, all that stuff. And it just happened to be that I'm telling you this purely secondhand, so I don't have anything to show to prove it. But I heard the same thing about other things too. He met the guy that actually does the actual record keeping for the verified cases of COVID. In other words, the death certificate says COVID. It comes back and it turns out, nope, he died of a heart attack or he died of this, he died of that. And this was probably 2 months ago, and he came over and he was flabbergasted. He was so mad and angry. And he said, guess how many actual cases of COVID there have been in Utah, since, I think it was August maybe, the whole year. How many cases have there been? Do you care to have a guess?
No.
Two.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, these are confirmed cases. Not I'm a hospital administrator and I'm gonna force my nurses and doctors to write on the death certificates or whatever that they died of COVID, right? Because there's a faulty test that I can prove, says a false positive or a false. Not that. These are actually the autopsies or whatever, the confirmed, the real cases, two. Two in
the whole case. Now, didn't the hospital administrators get the notice that they were supposed to dummy up things? Or are the people in Utah more honest than the people?
Well, no, this is the guy in government who actually is in charge of maintaining the actual record, you know?
Uh-huh.
Now, I have a friend in New York said the same thing about her, his friend works at a lab that tracks, measles. Not measles, rabies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they give deer and they drop food that has vaccines in them, basically. He said the only cases of rabies that he's ever seen in the whole time he's been there, because he's the guy that tracks the rabies, all of them are man-made, lab-grown versions of the virus. There is no wild rabies going on. There's only vaccine viruses that they're dropping in, and these deer especially are eating them, and they, you know, dogs, whatever, they become rabid.
And all the
tests come back that they are lab grown, not wild type viruses. So there's this huge problem. Now again, a lot of people are showing positive for coronavirus, but this isn't coronavirus that we're talking about specifically SARS-2 coronavirus 2019 when it was supposedly discovered. That's what he is keeping track of. Coronavirus is everywhere. It's the common cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a lot of doctors and people that have come out and expressed this, so it's not just saying this off the cuff. Whether this is I haven't verified that. I tried to get the name. He said no, he was protecting his privacy because he didn't want anybody to know that he told anybody. But yeah, anyway, I don't like to talk about such things because I don't have the facts or the sources,
right.
But,
now, what about
it makes good.
What about the mask wearing, which is a horrible idea?
All you have to do is go, you might not be a smoker or whatever. Just go buy a vape,
Right.
Go suck in some, so you don't have to swallow it or inhale it. Just suck in some vapor, put on a mask, any mask you want, and blow out the vapor. See what happens.
Well, you can also just put a mask on, Well, first use an oximeter, test your blood, put this oximeter on your finger, it tells you the amount of oxygen in your blood. Then put on a mask for five minutes. Then test your test again, and you will find that it has decreased, and you can get hypoxia. A lot of these children that are forced to wear masks at school are developing all kinds of symptoms from hypoxia. That is so awful.
Yeah, old people are collapsing in the store. I saw it. I mean, old people are collapsing in the store. I can't breathe, this damn mask, and they're fainting because they're not getting enough oxygen.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, I mean, I'll put it to you this way. You have Bill Gates with his
who we've never seen with a mask on.
Well, Bill Gates with his mosquitoes that are going to vaccinate you if they sting you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do? Are you gonna putting on a mask as a preventative is like putting up a chain link fence,
right? To keep mosquitoes out.
That's basically mm-hmm. what we're talking about here. It's completely worthless. There are dozens of studies that were done way before this was even an issue in the, early 2000s that showed masks were pointless. Some hospitals had their doctors stop wearing them because it was affecting the doctor's ability to do their job,
right?
That not getting enough oxygen, breathing in carbon, the dioxide.
Right.
And so the hospital stopped using masks because they did no good. Like I said, A virus is so small that it's basically equal to vapor, the size of the vapor. If you blow vapor through any mask, cloth or otherwise, it goes right through it. Or some of these studies said that because you're compressing the air, it actually blows out the side or the bottom or the top of the mask. And because there's so much pressure, it goes way farther than it would if you were just breathing normally.
Right.
Especially a sneeze, right? So the whole thing is really, Fauci at some point said, well, it's really just a symbol that we're all together in this, right? The whole media campaign, we're all together in this. No, actually, we're all freaking apart because you've quarantined us. So no, we're not together in this.
Right. The other thing too is that Fauci is on record for saying, for one recording, he'll say, yes, we should wear masks, and in another speech he says no, masks aren't any good. So you really can't pin him down for what he really feels, which is deliberate.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, he's a con artist. He's responsible.
We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and Clint Richardson is our guest. We're talking about something that is it's not a funny matter, but anyway, Our wonderful producer Skyped an image of somebody in a mask from the top of his head down to the tip of his toes, and it just struck me funny. And I have actually even seen people mask their dogs. I cannot imagine anybody that stupid. You could never mask a cat. I'll tell you that right now. A cat wouldn't put up with it, but what are people thinking? If the government told them to go out and jump off a cliff, would they do it? I mean, gosh. Well,
what's really sad is you wouldn't put up with someone forcing your cat to do that, and yet CPS or whatever will come and take your children. You'll stand back and be like, oh, well, you're government. You have the right to take my children. You have the right to force vaccinate my children. You have the right. But when it comes to my dog, you don't touch my cat.
Isn't that amazing?
Our priorities are completely screwed up, and that's conditioning. That's brainwashing. That's perfect example of how they've altered our natural instincts, right? I mean, that's what science, false science does. That's exactly, I don't know what to say. Like I said, we're at the point where we either stop this or we're dead. I don't know what I'm saying.
How do we stop this?
Well, first of all, we're an unorganized group, right? We are the movement that never moves, right?
You're right.
We are the disclosure without consequence, right? It all started with Alex Jones, especially. Disclosure after disclosure, but no consequence. No one's getting in trouble, right? Media took the same, pretty much the same stance. No one is doing anything about all this information. It's just information. Information is not knowledge. And
he's kind of a piece of work in and of himself.
Yeah, but see, you gotta consider the psychological effect that has on you and everybody else. If he's talking about
it,
or if the dude's talking about it, or RBN is talking about it, if anybody's talking about it, well then I don't have to worry about it. Someone's taking care of it. Well, that's not true. Nobody is taking care of it. Nobody is doing anything. They put a ban on this type of research. The government put a ban worldwide on this type of research in 2012, I believe it was. And in 2017, they lifted that ban. Now, what do we have? We have the first example of, fortunately, it's this instead of H5N1 or some, Ebola or something else that they've messed with. Zika, all of these things are lab-grown viruses. They tell you that's what it is. So you're going to ask, what do we do about it? I mean,
right. Okay, we will be right back. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Website is realityblogger.wordpress.com, and to look at his YouTube channel. Just visit the YouTube, and it's under Red Pill Sunday School. I like that name. That's really rolls off the tongue really well.
Yeah. Look.
Yes.
Do you remember the movie with Howard Beale, you know?
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
Where he says, yes. I won't tell you to contact your congressman. And then yell, get out the window, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Right. What was the name of that movie?
The Network or something like that.
Yeah,
I
Network.
Can't remember.
Yes.
But, you know, that's what I'm talking, because what are we in, right? We're what the Bible describes imperfectly. We're in that situation. We're in what you could call end times. Because why? Because nature is being converted to something that is unnatural, right? Including us, transhumanism, all that stuff. What do you do when your government no longer protects you from such things and in fact is investing in it and supporting it and funding it? What do you do when your government, you know, I didn't know this, but the government actually has a futurist National Intelligence Committee, a bunch of futurists that get together every so many years and predict the future. I mean, that is basically the same thing, right? The futurism, that's what Kurzweil, they're called futurists. I didn't know government had that. Government is ripe with scientism. Government is almost...
But they have always been.
I guess so.
We could live perfectly fine without a government.
Well, I mean,
do we
obviously
need a national
obviously
government?
Not because these scientists are completely out of control, right? The problem is, the reason they're out of control is because they're getting funding from government. And the people funding them are transhumanist futurists, etc., right? They want...
Tony Fauci,
all his experiments, Tony Fauci is all about life extension. Guess what? AIDS... The whatever's causing AIDS, it's an age disease. It makes you age. It makes you wither and die. It terminates your DNA. It does all these different things. Everything that he's done has been towards reversing age. To the transhumanist, age is a disease, right? Which is ridiculous. It's
well,
the cycle.
He's near 80.
Yeah, sure. He wants to be, I'm sure, in on it. He wants to transfer his mind into an avatar body like everybody else out there that's into this, right? I'm sure. So what I'm trying to say is, I'm sorry, but there is no legal solution. There is no government solution to what is a purely spiritual problem. When you have a bunch of psychopaths, a bunch of narcissists, and a bunch of sociopaths in positions of power, then how do you appeal to a psychopath? How do you appeal moral, spiritual values to someone who doesn't believe in them or that doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in anything remotely close to what the law of God or the law of nature, you know, promotes? Not once in this whole time that I'm watching any of these videos, hundreds of hours of videos that I cut down to these, you know, 8 hours or whatever, not once did they mention the Hippocratic Oath, the do no harm kind of concept, which doctors don't even take anymore, right? And the most important part is that scientific studies now are 70%, 5% at least inaccurate. Okay. That's, I don't know how, you know, unless you're into science, you don't know the one requirement for science to use a scientific method is reproducibility. If you cannot reproduce an experiment, your experiment is trash. And the other thing is that science, true science, if you're a real scientist, you know that every theory that you create, every proof that you make in your life is going to eventually be proven wrong or improved upon, which means you didn't have all the information. You're never right. You're only part right. But when it comes to scientism and this sort of religion of science, you are right because science says you're right. Okay, that's it. Period. End of story. There's no moral judgment. There's no need or room for anything else. These people don't have morals. They don't have any of that. All right? There is no spiritual component to this. They want to change life as we know it, and they don't care if they kill us all in the process. They don't care. Now, you're going to ask me what – I know what you're asking. What do we – because your question is the same question everybody has, and that's because we're handicapped by this concept of legalism. What do we do legally to stop this? That's your real question. And I'm going to say, you know what? Go ahead. Send this information to your congressman. Send this information to Donald Trump. Every one of you. Go ahead. Forward my documentary. Forward your message. Forward whatever you want to say. But what are you going to do then when nothing changes? What are you going to do when absolutely nothing changes and the next virus comes out? What if next time it kills 20%? What if the next time it kills 50%? When are you going to say, okay, this is no longer government. This is no longer science. This is something completely different. We have been taken over by a technocratic, religious, scientistic cult. At what point do you say, no, this has to stop, and you do something about it? Now, what you do, I don't know. Getting organized would certainly help. Getting a group together, even internationally, would certainly help. But is that enough, right? Again, this is not a war between governments or nations or even peoples. This is a war against an army of psychopaths that want to destroy nature, that want to alter themselves into gods and take you with them. I don't know what to say other than there has to be a point where your faith or your love or your worship of the flag is no longer viable. Now, again, I'm not promoting this, the whole violence thing. I'm just saying we're at the point now. I mean, okay, let's say you don't do anything. Let's talk about the consequences of inaction. Okay? Because that's really what we're talking about, right? Because they are now talking about forcing you to have an immunity pass. In Australia, the politicians are already passing laws for it. You have to have an immunity pass, which you have to pay for. You have to go to a doctor, get the test for COVID, which will probably be, a clandestine vaccine in and of itself. A nanoparticle vaccine, which they're now promoting, a mist that you sniff. What are the consequences of inaction? The consequences of inaction is Brave New World. Is you will have to have an identity pass, a global identity pass issued by a corporation. The corporation will become your owner, essentially. It will vouch for you. You will be its agent, or it will be your agent, and it will vouch that you are safe to go into stores, into restaurants, to do your laundry, to go anywhere in public. If you don't have that immune pass, and it's already in existence, all this was formed way before COVID ever came. If you don't have your immunity pass, which costs, I think, $89, then you cannot go anywhere in the public. You will not be able to buy, sell, or trade because you don't have the mark. So you're going to ask me, are you really going to ask me, you know, what do we do? I don't have an answer, except right now is that point where humanity is going to divide. And there are going to be two parts. One, go back to nature and hope that these people don't destroy nature in the process. And two, those that will go transhuman. Because there's no other option. You either go transhuman, meaning, you know, you're going to get that chip and you're going to get all these things because you have to, because they're going to force you to do it if you want to transact in their money, in their credit, in their, if you want to get the stimulus, if you want to get anything. All right. That's where we're at right now. All the things that we've been talking about over the years, sitting back in our lounge chairs, listening to RBN, listening to InfoWars, listening to all these different outlets. That is happening right now. All the warnings, all the dystopian things, all the films you've ever seen, they pointed to this very moment in history. We have already gotten to the point where very soon you're not going to be able to go anywhere. I mean, okay, I'll just give you an example. What happens, Deanna, when you try to go anywhere without a mask?
I have an exemption card that I got that I wear. I refuse to wear a mask.
Okay, well, most
whether I go to the post office or wherever I go, you can have an exemption card. And I got it through Technocracy News. They have an alternative website, website where you can order these. You wear them around your neck and it's double-sided. And, I've not been challenged.
Okay.
On it.
Well, what happens when the mask becomes a government-issued ID card that says you're not contagious and all stores are required to have you show it? Are you going to say, well, I'm exempt? No, you can't. The problem is the store requires it, right? Because government requires the store. The mask thing is still technically voluntary, except the social pressure, you know, people have that they think it's somehow, you know, saving them or protecting them. But when this becomes a government mandated ID that you have to pay for yourself and you can't do anything without it, and it's already set up, there's pictures of it, I got it in my documentary, alright, and it's all run by, hey, guess what? Guess who's involved in this, Deanna? Who was it that created the tags, the number system for the internment camps in Germany?
IBM.
IBM! Guess who's one of the big consultants on this? IBM!
And Bill Gates' mother worked for IBM.
Absolutely.
And she is the one that really supplied Gates with, he didn't create anything in his garage, okay? His mother was also associated with the Federal Reserve in the Seattle area. His father was in charge of Planned Parenthood in the Seattle area. So this is all about depopulation. I understand that. Depopulation.
No.
And I don't know. I've seen videos where people have actually actually started beating up on somebody that didn't have a mask on.
Exactly.
I think, my gosh, these people are crazy.
Well, okay.
I can't believe how many people are buying into this.
So what happens when store security then with their batons and their tasers come at you and say, if you don't, you know, you need to leave, you don't have an immunity card that's required by government, and we have the right to beat the crap out of you. Well, you know, it's going to get worse, and the people are not going to be on your side.
Oh,
they're
I know. Gonna,
they're going to clap. They're going to cheer. I've experienced it before. I've written about it before. When you try to stand up and do something right, you know, most of society is too brainwashed to support you. All
right?
So
right.
I get it. It's the problem is, again, like, okay, I'll put it to you this way, right? You're standing in Bill Gates' office, and he has the red button that will release the most, you know, the toxin or a virus that will kill 70% of the population. And there's a police officer there, or someone, a policy enforcer, and he says, well, it'd be illegal for you to actually grab Bill Gates and stop him from pressing the button. That would be assault. Do you obey the law? Or do you let 70% of the population die? Or do you actually...
If I were ever invited into Bill Gates' office and didn't have to go through security, I'd have my Ruger with me.
Right. Well, I was trying to be metaphoric, but okay. I agree. You know, I just want to get the point across that this has gone beyond.
Oh, right. I know. And years ago, I joined, when I woke up, it was in 1971, when I read None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen. He was right about a lot of things. And then I went on, and but still, there's some things about Gary Allen that I kind of question. And then when they passed, when Roe v. Wade occurred, I thought, what kind of a country is going to kill their infants? And so I thought, well, I've got to do something. So I soon joined the John Birch Society, thinking, oh, this is going to help me. This is going to be able to, we're going to take care of this problem. And so there's all kinds of fake societies, all kinds of fake solutions for this that really are set up by the very people who are doing it to you.
Right. And see, here's the problem, is that we've been entrained to believe that men are persons, and if you have a flattering title or anything else on your name, that you're special and you have special rights to do horrible things and you can commit violence and, you know, acts against nature. And yet we as a God-fearing people, I hope, understand that the law of God and law of nature is the highest. Any government is set up that way, right? Even, and if you don't think that government honors that, well then, I remind you that government, in the insurance industry especially, refers to an act of God as an act of nature. An act of nature is an act of God, okay? Something that is out of the control of men. That's why they don't insure it. Because it's not a legal issue, it's a natural issue, it's out of our hands, right? That's why they say it's an act of God, because that which is the highest cannot be controlled by man's law. That's the whole foundation of our system of law. But they've indoctrinated us, given us a so-called person, a status in society, and like a monopoly character, basically. We go round and round on the monopoly board of the legal realm. We pay our taxes. We do all this. And all the land is owned by a few people, and we're all renters. Even if we think we own the land, we don't. Right. We've gone to this point, and so we actually believe that we can harm a person or harm a corporation or harm property, right? These things aren't real. So, you know, you can't harm a corporation. You can't actually, you're not breaking any law of God. You're not breaking any law of nature by going into a corporation and ceasing its activity. Even the law is on your side. When you see a crime, you're actually, as a citizen, you have the right to police and to detain that criminal. Well, it's illegal for anyone, according to the Biological Weapons Act, to do anything with biological weapons, to sell it to other countries, to help, you know, everything they're doing is illegal according to the Biological Weapons Act, and yet it's not being enforced in any way. Fauci is guilty of every crime in that act. Who is going and making a arrest on him? Which one of you is brave enough to actually finally say, okay, the law allows me and encourages me, and it even says, there's one part of the law that says if you don't act when you see a crime, then you're part of the conspiracy. Right? I'm telling you, the law, even man's law, is on your side by stopping this criminal activity. Now, again, are we so dumbed down? Are we so in a box that we cannot act when we see our very lives being the lives of our children, the lives, our entire livelihood being destroyed before us? Are we so, you know, pussified? Pussimilis is the correct term. Right? Are we such pussies that we can't do anything about it? We won't do anything. We'll just sit back and wait for the next lab accident or a purposeful release. Or here's the worst part. Okay, maybe this will convince you. The whole debate really was when Ron Fauci, who calls himself a virus hunter, he did these experiments. He made highly pathogenic H5N1, even worse, he made it airborne, and then submitted those reports so that anybody in the world could just basically go on the cloud, get the genetic information, recreate that virus, and let it go. You could do it in your garage if you had the right equipment. So the debate was, should we release this information publicly? Should we actually expose how the scientists made it airborne, or should we just say that it happened, basically, is what it was. And, you know, they decided to go ahead and publish in full. They said that it would be wrong and it would not advance, quote-unquote, science if they didn't publish in full all the information. Tell me, how do you advance science? Science is an application. Science is the scientific method. See, they're not talking about science. They're not talking about reality. They're talking about their religion. They're talking about their cult. How do you advance scientism? You do all this stuff that isn't scientific. You advance, you do everything you can to get to that transhumanist point. That is the fulfillment of scientism. Transhumanism is the fulfillment of scientism, is what I'm trying to tell you. All right, so the debate really was over publication of the results, because then any terrorist group, any government in the world, and government is actually, terrorism is actually defined as government if you look it up.
Right.
So anyone in the world can then take this research, and now you don't even, you can genetically recreate viruses and other things in the lab. You do it from scratch. You don't even need the sample. You just program in the genetic code, and it spits the stuff out. I mean, it's really scary. It's like 3D printing a nuclear bomb. I mean, I'm telling you, we've gone too far. They know they've gone too far, but there's this scientific view that says, no, we can never go too far, that if we can do it, we should. Science must go forward. That's what we're dealing with. And again, that's out of their mouths. That is their opinion. Right? So I don't know how to get it, the urgency of this across, but nothing else really matters right now. All this political nonsense doesn't matter, because if nature is dead, then so are we. If DARPA's bugs that they're going to infect with viruses and release into the wild to then infect plants and give the plants beneficial viruses,
gosh,
all this different stuff that's going on, we cannot allow this to happen. I'm so flabbergasted. Look, my role, I'm fulfilling my duty right now. I'm making this documentary evidence so that people can actually see what's happening behind the scenes. That's my lot in life. What is your lot? What is your lot? Do you have reruns of Friends to catch up on? Oh, I'm sorry for interrupting you. Do you have to binge watch Netflix this weekend? Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have time to watch my documentary, now do you?
Right. Right. Personally, I've been writing articles since 2005 on the internet, published 4 books, in addition to my quilt books, but, doing the radio program, I feel like I have to do something.
I know.
Because there's so many problems. You have to speak up. And I certainly don't waste any time doing other things, media, just menial. I haven't turned my TV on since March. I'm just not,
I have to
not there anymore.
When I'm looking at this kind of stuff, like I said, especially when you first discover it, and it's just mind-bending that it can even be happening and that people can be so nuts, sometimes you want to tune out. You want to,
I think a lot of people do that.
So, I mean, yeah, I'd probably get a lot more work done if I didn't need to get away from the work for a while and go camping or something, But
that helps, too. I think just getting out by yourself in nature is a good thing.
There's so much to this, of course, which is, again, why the whole series is going to be, there's so much data and information to get across to people. And it's pretty much like, It's like having 20 documentaries in one, because everything fits together. You see the whole puzzle fit together. You know, one piece leads to another, and you have to include that, or otherwise the rest of the puzzle doesn't make sense. That's why I say it's like a master class in everything that has gone wrong.
The one thing, too, is that a lot of people, because Trump was not a politician, they thought, oh, we'll bring in somebody that's new to politics, and he'll fix things. And I do a lot of tweeting, and I said, well, the first thing that he could do in order to gain confidence is to fire Fauci, and he defunded WHO, the World Health Organization, but then he turned around and gave that money to Gavi, which is Bill Gates, And so he's going along with these people. He's not going to fix anything. He was put in there to do what he is doing, not to fix anything. No politician's going to fix anything.
I mean, I have a request for everybody that's listening right now, and that is to pass this evidence that I'm putting together that's taken me, you know, 9 months to put together. I'd very much appreciate it if you pass it on. I'd appreciate it if you passed it on to all the news outlets and the president and every congressman and every radio station. I could use the publicity, the interviews, whatever, just to get this information in people's hands so they have some evidence instead of just all these conspiracy I guess theories that people are putting out, right? All these little pieces of the puzzle. I'd love that to happen. If for no other reason, right? If a million people emailed this to the president, or emailed this to Fox News, to Tucker Carlson, or whatever, then at least you know how complicit and how in on the scheme these organizations are. They're either going to run with it or they're going to ignore it. They're going to censor it, right? And you know, if Trump and Fauci really do have this animosity that we see, well, then I guarantee you that Trump could have no better piece of evidence to show the American people than what I've put together. Then Fauci getting up and saying in 2017, getting up and saying, hey, there is going to be a surprise outbreak in this presidency. Well, how did he know? By Fauci getting up and explaining all the research, that he's been in charge of all these different viruses that they've, you know, he's never mentioned this while standing there next to Trump. He's never mentioned the fact that he's the sole individual responsible for the funding of every single virus that the NIH has funded to be gain-of-function research.
He should be arrested for crimes against humanity.
That's what I'm saying. And the fact that Trump, I'm sure, already knows this, but if he doesn't, great. Then he doesn't arrest Fauci, well then, you know, Fauci either has more power than Trump or something's very, very wrong, and your government has failed you. That's what I'm saying. So by all means, try the official routes, which have never worked before. But
people who do get on these news channels like Fox are people who are with military intelligence, or who are in on the scheme, or who are talking about a false narrative. Oh, okay, we'll be right back momentarily.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back with our guest today, Clint Richardson. And his website is realityblogger.wordpress.com. He's working on a huge, huge program. It would be wonderful if you could get on Fox News and talk about it, but I don't think it. I wouldn't hold your breath, because I feel that anybody that has been on Fox News, talking about what they believe, are there to promote something to keep you away from the actual truth. I'm talking about a 9/11 situation.
Well,
other situations where there were people who were on Fox News and got a lot of attention, and everybody thought, "Oh wow, look at him go! Boy, he's really." But what they were doing was taking the attention off of what the real facts were.
Sure. And you know what? Let's be honest. My websites are all labeled as, I believe the ADL lists my website as, as intolerant. And once you get the anti-Semite or Holocaust denier in Europe, you know, once you get that label, you're out of any kind of, you're blackballed.
And, or in jail.
I have no doubt that you have that. But this is the way that they, you know, when people try to log on to my, you know, my sites, they'll get that kind of message, or
right.
It's dangerous. Or I'm used to it.
Yeah.
It made me, you know, lash out even further and against Abe Foxman and his ridiculous organization. But, you know, I don't expect myself to be on any kind of mainstream outlet. I'm just saying,
right.
Take my name off it. And I thought about putting this out without a name. Just you know, hey,
no, you
look.
Wouldn't do that. You couldn't do that.
Well, I could. I wouldn't. It wouldn't bother me because I'm not making any money from it. It's not the purpose. The purpose is, hey, we're all going to die. You know? So, and it's always been that way. So, you know, all I can say is, I mean, at the best, I'm documenting the current history of the world. At best, in 10 years, when anyone's left to look back at this, they'll at least know what the hell happened. If somehow this can be preserved, because I mean, really, I the stuff I've pulled up is it's just not stuff that the public watches. Even though they're public forums and they're supposedly public, the government is exceedingly efficient at holding public hearings, etc., and having them never reach the public. And that's basically what this was. And I'm at a loss right now because it's just so much information. But I expect that I'll post this in the next few days, at the latest. So again, I'll post it on Red Pill Sunday School channel and put it on my blog, and you know, hope for the best.
Right. Well, you're doing it because that's the kind of person you are. If you know something, you have a moral obligation to share it with other people, but you also have to take care of yourself. And right. Part of what is going on too is that the people in charge, the people that are doing all these horrible things, are trying to demoralize us. They are trying to make us feel like there is no hope, and we don't want to be in that hopeless situation.
Well, if you were a transhumanist, your best excuse for it would be humanity is broken and we need to fix it, right?
Well, I told you how I would fix it, but that's illegal, obviously.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's you do have to protect yourself, and of course there's the reason that there are so many things going on in Australia is the fact that, well, first of all, Australia started out as a prisoner's colony. And we look at what is going on there, and they're going in and arresting people and doing all these terrible things and mandates and things. It's really terrible. And you think, well, those people, that nation took away all the guns. And, I don't think that's going to I don't think that's going to happen in this country. I know that there's right now the gun stores are emptying out. And that happened after Sandy.
You know,
also.
This is certainly a topic that's really difficult because I know a lot of people have guns. I know a lot of people join little, you know, chat groups or forums or get together in coffee shops and talk about guns and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But most of those people, in my experience, if they were to actually be challenged to the point where, for instance, right now, we're what we're talking about, you know, are they going to use those guns? Are they going to act? And I hate to say it, but you can have a whole arsenal, but if you don't have the moral compunction to act, if you don't have the spiritual, you know, need and understand that everything is at stake, I don't think a lot of these people are going to act. I really don't.
Well, it depends on the circumstance. If somebody was busting into your home, and was physically threatening to you, you probably would.
Like I said, I'm right now, I can't stress this enough, there's a frickin' biological nuclear pointed right at our heads, and all it is one lab accident away from detonating, and we don't even know this is happening. Like, that's incredible to me, right? So when presented with this kind of information, and again, I kind of turned numb to it because I've been researching it all this time and can now, you know, looking at it more rationally, but the feeling is still there that, oh my God, these people have, I mean, this is the equivalent of, I don't know, you know, this is 9/11 times 30,000.
Right. But these people are also, how do they protect themselves from their own evil? If they're going to let mosquitoes loose, it's going to affect the things that they eat. They have to be part of the equation also. How do they protect themselves from their own evil, from their own medication, from their own vaccines?
Well, I mean, some of them actually, but I think some of them believe in vaccines, honestly. But honestly, I believe that what you just stated to them is just collateral damage. It is what is necessary to promote the scientific goals, the transhumanist goals.
Willing to give up their life?
But the real question is, are you willing to give up your, everybody listening, are you willing to give up your life? Because you're gonna do that one of two ways, and that's either waiting for it to happen or acting against it, right? Which way would you rather die? I guess is the question.
Gosh, I don't know.
Because I mean, I don't mean to sound like this alarmist, but I really am sounding the alarm here. This is this COVID thing is your first sort of entrance into the future of what's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether this was accidental or not doesn't even matter. The fact that accidents happen all the time. I don't know how to deliver this message with the urgency. I mean, this is like, you know, if aliens came and invaded the Earth, that's how serious this is.
I mean, right.
And they have all their laser guns and they start killing us all. That's how serious this is. But unless you see it for yourself, I guess maybe the alarm bells don't ring in your head.
And it's also, somebody in the chat room said, the population control programs are for America, Europe, Japan, in other words, the West. And, I was on a website, recently, let's see, where was I? It was a forecast, by a Mr., let's see, I guess the guy's name is Deagle. And he indicates that there would be a switch, a population switch, that people would be leaving certain countries and going to other countries, that the population would decrease while other nations would increase because the people in the targeted areas were going to be leaving.
Well, so what's interesting about that concept is, because really what the guy is saying in the chat room or whoever it was, is that they're targeting, you know, Europeans basically.
Right.
And a Japanese as opposed to Chinese or, you know, very specific racial tendencies or families. And there's just one problem with that idea. White people and Japanese people are the minorities of the earth. Right?
Well, we're getting, well, I mean, with multiculturalism, we're getting less and less.
But if you were targeting a certain people, you'd target, you know, the most abundant populations on Earth, which would be India, maybe China, right? The specific genomic, eugenic attack. That would make sense. But at that, you know, getting rid of European people, which are already the minority and decreasing all the time, they've already, I mean, to me, we've already been defeated. They've lowered our birth rate and made us so damn unhealthy, right? And they've already defeated us. They defeated us mind, body, and soul. Because again, even after today, and even after seeing this documentary, if you watch it, you're probably still not going to act because you're no longer a Highlander. You're no longer a knight. You're no longer a warrior. You're an American. You eat cheeseburgers and bacon. I mean, that's what you've become. You watch TV. That, you know, you listen to conspiracy radio. You listen. You don't actually.
We're not. There's no William Wallace's.
Right. Everything's been stolen from you. All your properties. You're living in a feudal system and you don't even know it. A neo-feudal, a new feudal system that they set up called the United States, the corporation, right? The Monopoly Board. Which is set over the so-called free country that you think you're in. I mean, everything has been taken from us, and we still are completely complacent. So, in my view, you know, white people are already defeated. At this point, you got people bowing down to every other race saying, I'm sorry for being white.
Right.
I mean, how defeated are we, really? It's time to wake up. Time to take back your heritage, to take back what your ancestors fought for to get you to this point where you could be lazy bastards. You know, really, that's where we are. I'm sorry. Someone has to say it, right?
Yes, I agree with you. And it's overwhelming how they did it through making us tolerant, helping us to be tolerant of anything and everything, and now it's intolerable. The civilization in America with all the rioting, which goes on, they're not addressing it, which is horrible. They're destroying private property. They're destroying public property. They're killing people, running people over, burning California. Which breaks my heart, because I grew up in Sacramento, as you did.
Yep.
And it was a beautiful state. I remember all the orange groves down in Southern California, and it was just the most gorgeous state. If you go up north, you went into the redwoods, and that is being burnt deliberately. Yep. It's arson. It isn't just. It could be probably some land management problems because they didn't clear the trees as they should with logging and whatnot, but it's still arson.
Well, I mean, plus the horrible electric companies out there that don't take care of their wires and like I said, it's because you don't have a government anymore. You have a
mafia.
Scientistic cult running the show. They're all appointed. Right. That's really the problem. And like I said, all these groups that we complain about really all fall into this scientistic sort of worldview. Really all of them. I mean, whether it's technocracy or the whole thing is basically, and this was a term that I didn't know before. I just recently found out about it and looked into it, watched a couple documentaries on it, and I'm like, holy crap, this is it. Scientism is our problem. It is like the worst kind of fanatic religious cult you can possibly ever come across, because they've infiltrated the church and the state. They've infiltrated everything. And you won't realize it until you see it. Like I said, you don't know it's happening until you actually see it pointed out to you, because I certainly had never heard of this. And yet it was being warned about, like I said, back in the 1920s. They were warning.
Wow.
Happening. It was really amazing. I got to say, it's really an amazing discovery. But, hey, I apologize, but I have to knock out a little early. But that's I really right. appreciate you letting me vent and finally talk about this, because I really have had my head, you know, down in the computer doing this down in my little basement. So I really appreciate you having me on. And like I said, I'll have that up on Red Pill Sunday School in just a few days, I hope.
Right. You need to be active on Twitter. I know you have a Twitter account. You need to be active there so you can tell people about it. Be active wherever you can be, except Facebook. For heaven's sake, stay away from Facebook.
Yeah, I need a publicist.
CIA.
I need a publicist to do all that for me so I can.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, my dear friend. Take care.
Take care, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and I'm really grateful that Clint could be on today. Last year, he subbed for me, several times, because I was involved in an energy medicine class. And with all of the terrible things that are going on, I thought I would just kind of share my beliefs with you and what I do to not feel hopeless, but to feel hopeful. I believe that the loving intelligence, whether you consider that as God or whomever, that a loving intelligence gave us an immune system that would help us defeat anything that we would run across. And in keeping with that idea, excuse me, I do a lot of things every single day that help me to be healthier. I did have some health problems in 2018, some very serious health problems that I have overcome. And I have done that, excuse me, through energy medicine. I trace my meridians every day. I do what is called a daily energy routine, where I tap certain acupressure points that help me. I meditate. I am a big fan of Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I have read all of his books and have reread them. I took the Eden Energy Medicine class and learned a great deal from this. And I think probably had I not been engaged in energy medicine, that I wouldn't be here talking about it. Because of the severity of the issues that I had in 2018. But I really believe that we need to do everything that we possibly can to remain hopeful. And so I recommend that you meditate, that you do things that give you hope, that make you feel good. Learn where your acupressure points are. Learn about ways that you can feel hopeful. And certainly that's what we need. And that is what the so-called, the cult, the people who are running things, they do not want us to have any hope. They want us to feel hopeless. And so one of the ways that we can counteract that is to do things to increase our own energy, to increase our own vitality, and to do the things that keep us grounded. Right now, I am sitting with my bare feet on an earthing mat. We aren't in touch with the earth anymore. So many of the manufactured shoes have rubber, and that keeps you from touching the earth. We need to be in touch with the earth so that we feel grounded, so that we feel better. So anyway, thank you so much for listening today. Have a great week in spite of all the awful things that are going on. Do what you can to raise your own energy and to do the things that will help you to feel better. Thank you. Bye-bye.